What is going on, men? It's your boy Crimson.
I'm curious about you being someone who embarked on a law career, was obviously very bright, went to university, packed it in just for money to be effectively an online stripper. I mean, that's what you do, right?
Yeah. Way worse than an online stripper. But
what do you mean, way worse?
Way worse. Online strippers just, you know, naked. I do things that are way more grotesque.
Well, just pornography.
Pornography, anything. But it's all within what I want to do. And I absolutely love it. And I'm really good at it. You know, I could be a good lawyer, yes. But also, am I good at doing other things on video and camera?
How would you feel when you want to have kids yourself?
Well, I mean, that's... I don't really want kids right now.
But you will do. How old are you?
25.
Right, so you will do at some stage, probably, right?
Maybe.
When you do, are you going to be proud that you have your little ones and they look at you and go, didn't you want to be a lawyer, Mummy? What happened?
Yeah.
And you go, yeah, but look at all my stuff.
They can cry in a Ferrari.
Well... Where do I even begin? Where do I even be? Do I begin where I left off? Hypergamy doesn't exist. Do I leave off where my stepdad said I told you so? Do I begin where do I begin where I thank the fuck out of him? I mean, do I begin where Pierce Morgan literally had the same reaction that I did? You know what? Let's start off with the hypergamy thing. If hypergamy were real, was a real fucking thing, what did I say yesterday? Is that a woman will fucking take a drastic step backwards because it's fun. They will literally destroy their fucking lives because it's fun. I have said this. Narcissistic people will absolutely destroy themselves. They will destroy the fucking foundation that they stand on, the community that helped them, that helped, you know, raise them. They will fucking destroy and betray and fuck over everyone. Because any attention is good attention. Because at the moment they're not worried about the consequence. Or they have the, you know, the they don't want to sit there and think about the consequence of their current action so long as they're getting a reaction. The reaction is the narcissistic supply. I've said this. The narcissistic supply is far superior. Even when it's negative, as a matter of fact, when it's negative, it's far more potent. The reaction. And it's as I said, if these bitches don't care, they don't care about the title. The accolades that go with success are what drive them, the label. For some narcissists that never had, you know, that never had anything, to have objectivity to them is success. To those narcissistic people that, you know, were never patted on the back for enough or never patted on the back or celebrated for their success, title is their reward. Acknowledgement of their, acknowledgement by others through title, which is why a lot of these people, become HR, general managers, such and so forth. And then the sociopaths end up becoming the general man, the man, general managers and CEOs and above. It's because they want to be idealized. And it's as I said before, God to them means nothing. Because to walk the path of a righteous man means sacrifice, and sacrifice is only something that a man is designed for. To be a righteous man, to walk alongside God, requires a lot of sacrifice. A lot of sacrifice. It's very difficult. So, I mean, there's just so much to unpack in that small section. It just goes back to so much that I've always said. If walking the path of God was so rewarding, everyone would have done it long ago. It wouldn't have even been such a difficult choice, but the reward is in the difficulty. Walking that path of righteousness is not easy, and that is the reward, to take the harder path, because when you take the harder path, it's far sweeter. The rewards of sacrifice. That's always been the case. My stepdad taught me this. If you sacrifice now, you'll understand and appreciate the reward later. You gotta learn to hate the things you love. Or, excuse me, you gotta learn to love the things you hate. Do something that sucks. All these things that people like David Goggins, Marcus Aurelius, and like my stepdad, and in the Bible, even Jesus said this: struggle is at the end of struggle is a vast reward. It's like my grandmother always told me, never pray to God for patience, to teach you patience. Because He will fuck your life up, and sometimes it'll take years. If you want to become stoic, let life slowly teach you. Because if you pray for stoicism, God is going to teach you, and it's going to be the worst life of your life. Because everything will fail, everything will fall apart, everything will hurt you until you learn to become stoic. Until you learn what patience is, until you learn how to be graceful. Those are qualities that only life can teach you. And if you seek them out, the reward is far sweeter. But if God teaches you those lessons, it's going to be painful. You'll have an aha moment, but it's not the aha moment that you thought. And it definitely won't be as you'll thank God, but it'll be one of those like, thank God it's over. Thank God it's over. And that's not the same. It's not the same as like, thank you for this revelation. It's thank you for teaching me that lesson. Please don't do it again. That was the hardest part of my life. Right? My grandmother, she before she passed away, she taught me this. And I never prayed for anything to God to teach me something. Never. And at the same time, it's as I said, to these women, the only God that matters to them is the man on the $100 bill. That is the only God that they respect. And any man that can bend that dollar at will is the only man that they respect. And they say that they want a prisoner who is a reformed convict. But how many of these women go for the convict who's got the heart of gold? You see it time and time again. Hell, my buddy idealizes Wes something. I forget the man's name. But when he did a Cribs-style video showing his house, he said, you know, I've got a girl, but she's messing around. And you know how that goes. Like, you know, I want to marry her. She's got her own kid, but, you know, she doesn't want to get with the program. And you know how that goes. Even he himself is a fucking simp. And the man's a millionaire. The guy's jacked. He could easily fuck me up. He's got multiple sports cars that are well beyond what I can make in a year. Does all this to still impress a woman. And he can bend the dollar and he can create it and he can fucking destroy it. And he can fucking just bend it to his will. Still doesn't want him. Now, people could argue, well, she doesn't feel like she deserves it and all this other stuff. But at the end of the day, women say that they want something. And then when they get it, they really don't. They really don't. Women will use their sexuality to get somebody else to have the power. Somebody else that has the power. Right? It's like I said last night. It's like those people that fucking leech off of you. When we were kids, we would do school projects, and there was always that one fucker who just would charm and ease his way into, you know, he would be funny, he would be charismatic, he would just do everything in his power to keep us entertained. Why? Because it was out of survival. It was out of necessity. And once we gave him what he wanted, which was an A, he'll then disappear. He'll fuck off. He'll never be your friend ever again. He's only your friend for that one project. And I can't tell you. Right? I can't tell you how often I would go through that shit. Can't tell you how often I would get suckered in because I desperately wanted to make friends, because making friends was like out of survival. I needed stability in my life from moving from school to school to school. I needed somebody to have my back, somebody to turn to when I would go through something, somebody to open up to about my home. So in any case, I I would go through that. Through that pain. I would make friends with people. And they were only friends with me when they had to. And there was no other choice. And then as quickly as we became friends, I'd have to move. So it was in my best interest to be one step ahead. I would take the books from my school, remember the curriculum for next semester. And I'd go to that school and I would fucking just smoke everybody. I'd blow everybody out of the water. And everybody would look at me like I'm a fucking genius. And then I would just give up. Because it was like, alright, well, I can already see that my dad can't afford rent, so I'm just going to stop. I just eventually fucking quit. There was no use. They were just going to restart my grade next fucking semester anyway. And it was going to go on and on and on like that until I graduated. And then my dad always wondered, well, how come you just don't try? That was why. In which case, going back to this chick. You know, my stepdad once told me something. And I responded the exact same way that that chick did. And my stepdad gave me the exact same look that Piers Morgan has right now. It's fucking silence. Just utter fucking silence of just... He was just fucking just stunned at the stupidity. He didn't even know what to say. He's just like, okay. I remember he looked at me for a while and just... Okay. Like, this is your choice and I have to respect it, right? And I knew he was disappointed and I didn't know how to unfuck that situation. I mean, it bit me in the ass and then I realized, like, ah, I see what you were doing now. And he's like, okay, well, what are you going to do to change that, right? And this is one of those, like, let them eat cake moments. Piers Morgan asked a serious question. What are you going to do when your kids find and get a hold of your material? And he was fucking stunned at the response. Let them cry in a Ferrari. And he like that let them eat cake moment is just like fucking profound, because she herself at 25 doesn't give a fuck about the mental health of her children. She doesn't care about anybody else but herself. It's like I said, the only God that she respects is the fucking guy on that $100 bill. And in the end, the title of the prestigious title of becoming a lawyer, she was going down the right path. And at the end, the prestigious title didn't mean shit. It was the fame and glory and fortune of spreading her fucking ass cheeks. That is far easier for her. And getting fucked is far more entertaining and having all sorts of strange dick. Of course, she won't fucking bring herself to admit it, because she knows how disgusting that is to not just herself, but a lot of people. But she's addicted to it. It's too much fun. God damn it. It's too much fucking fun. It's too delicious. And so, for her to say, let them cry in a Lambo, Piers Morgan just had this reaction. Like, you really don't give a shit about anybody else but yourself. And it's as I said, they don't give a fuck about anybody but themselves and the man on that $100 bill. That's it. That $100 bill is their God. Nothing more. Nothing will suffice. Because this woman can have... because this woman can have any man that she desires. Any man could fall to her fucking... Right now, fall to her... Fall at mercy to her feet. At 25. She can have any man that she wants. But who does she want? The man on the $100 bill. Because that has ultimate power to her. Not the degree, not the education, not the power and respect that comes in with that prestige, not the self-sacrifice. No, the fame and glory, and the fast money, and the fucking roster of cock that she gets to enjoy. That is far more exciting. So hypergamy doesn't exist. She could have a Bill Gates right now and make that man happy. But it's not about him. It's about her. Hypergamy, it's... And by the way, I'm only talking about this girl. There's tons of fucking girls right now on like X videos, Pornhub, and all this, that aren't making the money that she is, and they still choose that lifestyle. They choose to gamble with fate. Some of those girls are never going to become famous, they're never going to be well known. The only fucking pieces that they're ever going to be hired on are the shitty gonzo sites, and that's it. You know, rare is it that they're going to become the next Jenny Lee that fucking became so famous that the drugs end up getting to them. And then they end up disappearing underneath the tunnels of Las Vegas. Rare. By the way, she hasn't been heard from. You know, I ask around to the homeless that have insight and that have still their wits about them. You know, I asked if anybody's ever heard of her, if she's okay. And this one homeless girl, I'll never forget, she said, "It doesn't even matter. We'll never make it out of this. The drugs are too strong, they're too addictive, and this lifestyle is just too fucking easy. And we will die in here. So it doesn't matter if she's okay, she's eventually gonna die." And this homeless chick accepted that. She accepted her fate, like she knew that one day she'll die out on the street. Today is not the day, but she will die. And her only options in her mind are death or the drug. And that's it. To her, there are no third options. Because the drug is so powerful that it doesn't allow you to weigh a third option. So hypergamy doesn't exist. I mean, there's some chicks out here, I swear to God, man, you would never believe that they're homeless. They're fucking beautiful, they're drop-dead gorgeous, and you see them carrying around matching clothes with their backpack. And I'm like, and by matching clothes, I mean like pink and pink or blue or green. You know, they've all got a color theme. The bougie homeless chicks. And they're fucking gorgeous. They have enough money to get their hair done every week, and you're like trying to figure out how the fuck do they do it. Well, this is what they do. They strip, then they go shower somewhere, And then they go back to the streets of... Instead of going and collecting cans, they'll strip. They'll have a daytime job, you know, sucking dick or whatever. They'll shower, and then they'll go back to the streets to go do their drug of choice behind some abandoned building somewhere. And they're not exclusive because every man that they're with always wants to do the chivalrous thing and try to protect them and get them away from all the shit, right? To protect them. And the girls are like, dude, you're fucking with my money. You know, this John's willing to pay me a few bucks here and there just to have my way, just to have my fun. And you're fucking with my cash. You're telling me no, and this guy's willing to pay me. So fuck off. I see it all the time, man. It happens all the fucking time. You know, it especially around my area where I live. Beautiful girls that just walk by and they have a backpack on. And I'm like, oh. They're homeless. I'm telling you, dude. I see it a lot. But that fucking dollar has that grip on them. That drug, that fun. It's like Pop said, you know, if you're trying to have fun every day, it becomes a drug. Trying to have fun every day. So, hypergamy doesn't exist. These chicks could have millionaires, and there's millionaires out here. How many of those fucking PUA pieces of shit are recording from a hotel room here on the strip where those hotel rooms cost $150 a day? They have unlimited access to all this food, unlimited access to all this shit, and they're coming out with fucking content. And they're recording themselves going down the strip and fucking, you know, fucking all these young girls and doing all this shit and recording all these videos, asking all these questions. Literally, you can become famous just asking questions out here on the strip. Because the strip creates that prestige. As long as you have the strip in your, on the background and you're recording and saying a whole bunch of shit, you can become famous. It's not hard. So a lot of those PUAs use that fucking method. 33 Secrets does it. Fucking Rollo Tomasi does it. What does he say in his intros? Recording live from Reno, Nevada. Right? Reno is just a shithole. Any case. It goes on and on and on. Just name dropping. There's that one guy who like goes on the strip and he asks a whole bunch of people questions that, you know, reveal the hypergamous nature of women, but in reality those girls can have anybody they want. And they don't. Why? Because the dollar is their god. And they can date up and down and across and everywhere. Straight down the center. I'm telling you. If they were to choose between the dollar and God, they would be with God long enough to get enough of the dollar and then leave God for Satan. Blow all their money on Satan. Stay with Satan for fucking years until their death, their destruction. Or they finally come to the understanding that, oh, I fucked up, leave Satan, and then go back to God. It happens all the fucking time. Something to think about. Guard your heart.